Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
Rookie move.
Push the button, Stace.
I got it. Don't rush me.
It says on.
I got it. I turned the mic on. We're rolling. Earlier in today's show, we took a listen to some cuts from Jerry DePoto, and we talked about expectations versus goals. And Bump, both of us settled on our expectations this year for the Mariners not being World Series. And maybe for some people, theirs are, but ours aren't. Our expectations were progress, playoffs, and then the goal was World Series, and those were two different things. So I wanted to move from expectations to goal. And kind of talk about a World Series, because that's what everyone wants.
Yep.
Ultimately, that's what everyone wants. So my question's big, and we're going to break it up into a lot of parts. How do the Mariners get to a World Series?
How do you get to the World Series? Simple answer, just win a lot of games, get to the playoffs.
Classic.
You know what I mean?
Classic.
And hold the trophy up. But it's a bit more complicated than that. But here's the thing that they have right now. I think they have World Series talent when it comes to the pitching staff. I think that their starting rotation is World Series type, and you're missing a guy in Robbie Ray. So what you have to do is continue to be strong in the areas of the game that you excel at already, right? And the Mariners have shown that over the past, X amount of years, that they're good at developing arms and scouting them and finding them out. So now the part you got to get better at are developing young bats. Now, you can say you've done that with Jared Kelnick, and you've done that with Julio Rodriguez. People are calling for Julio right now and saying Jared's better. I don't even care if Jared is better. I need just both of them to be good at the same time. Right? You get both of those guys clicking at the same time, you're good to go. Now what you need to do is continue to add in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
What do good teams do? Teams that go to the World Series, they have a couple acquisitions during the offseason from a veteran, from a proven star that puts them over the hump. And I think that's something that this team is missing right now, is finding the guy that puts them over the hump. I think Suarez was a great addition last year. He said some of the most home runs in the past 4 years than anybody in the majors. I even think Teoscar Hernandez was a better addition than I thought he was going to be. He still hasn't hit a stride yet, but I like the way that he's trending. But every single year, contenders add talent. They add top-notch talent to their roster. So if the Mariners want to get to the big dance, the big show, and hold that trophy up and do what they got to do, they have to continue to add bats and continue to develop bats, because that's something that they struggle with so far.
I'm going to add on to that, because that's it. Both of us agree, like, if you have a recipe for a World Series team, and there have been different ways that teams have made it to and won a World Series, but if you have kind of like a standard recipe, great pitching and excellent pitching depth would be the number one ingredient. Number two would be like, okay, let's talk offense. Let's talk stars.
Mm-hmm.
Have stars. Like, have guys that can win for you. And so to kind of have that point you made as a jumping off point where, like, hey, be better at drafting and developing hitters. I think that to take advantage of some of the guys that you have now and win even sooner, you may need to turn to trade and free agency. And so maybe my next step for the Mariners would be bite the bullet and take a risk. And the inherent thing with risk and the inherent thing with signing free agents or spending is that it is a gamble. If you were to be told Aaron Judge is a free agent and he is going to hit 65 home runs or whatever, like, if you're told exactly what you're buying, a lot of people are going to be fine spending.
Mm-hmm.
The point with free agents is that you often don't know for sure. You can only go on what you've seen, but you don't know for sure. That's the gamble.
Right.
And I think that sometimes the Mariners have been very risk averse. And so they make small moves because you take on smaller risk with potentially big reward. And sometimes that pays off. Like when Ty France was one of your better hitters, I know he's you know, coming off a wrist injury and he's been up and down. But when he was initially one of your better hitters, that was small risk, big reward.
Mm-hmm.
It was a trade where the big acquisition was a prospect with Taylor Trammell. And then you got Luis Torrens and Ty France's bench players with the Padres. And Ty ended up being an amazing hitter. So those moves are great. Those are part of what make World Series teams. I think that this team's plan was draft, develop, bats, and Kyle Lewis didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And Evan White didn't work
out.
Man,
didn't he show some promise during that short season?
He did, but he had
though?
Chronic knee injuries that
yep.
he couldn't get over.
Yep.
Evan White didn't work out. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you traded away a pair of shortstops that may work out. Who knows? But you traded away a pair of shortstops, and I love the trade because I love the acquisition of Luis Castillo.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, because your plan went awry when it comes to drafting and developing hitters, I would just love to see them add in free agency.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just bite the bullet and take a risk would be my next step to get there.
Yeah, take a risk. And they can, the Mariners can say they did that last year by getting Luis Castillo,
mm-hmm.
right? That's one
yeah,
risk.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to focus on my hometown team, the Dodgers, right? Every year. Now, granted, I know money's different. The circumstances are different. I get it. I'm not saying that the Mariners should be the Dodgers.
No.
But I'm saying that every year it seems like these guys are adding somebody. They're taking a gamble on somebody. And sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't work out. But you don't even give yourself an opportunity to see if it's going to work out if you don't just get into the fight. So I think as management looks at the talent they have now, I hope that they're influenced to go take risks to add to that talent and say, look, we have some guys who are capable of getting us to the next level. And the next level is, okay, getting to the playoffs and winning a series and making a push. But do we have the guys in our farm system? Can we depend on the farm system to put us over the top? I just don't think that is what those guys are for. Use your farm system for, all right, well, maybe use a couple guys in a trade, which we saw with Castillo, and maybe these guys can help, and hopefully they develop. But sometimes you need someone right now that you know or that you feel that history says the chances of him developing
yeah.
or the chance of him balling out are pretty high. So, yeah, I think that's what it comes down to. There's a nice core you have right now, but
yeah.
you always want to add to that core.
Well, and I'll add on, too, like, make it work. That doesn't mean go get the best bat available in free agency at any cost and spend as much money as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I'm saying, and don't interpret it that way, because some free agency classes are worse than others. The best bat is not really the best bat, and I understand not wanting to give out an 11-year contract when you want to make sure to secure a lot of your young core. Sure, I get it. That's not what I'm advocating. What I'm saying is that something is often better than nothing. That don't completely sit out and lean on. And again, I don't think they did this, but I see the argument. So I don't actually think that the Mariners, that every free agent they spoke to thought, I don't want to hit at T-Mobile. I see that a lot from, you know, some fans that are like, well, T-Mobile is not a hitter-friendly park and people don't want to come to Seattle. Okay. So how do you get them here? Then what? Are you just going to sit on your laurels and be like, well, I mean, you know, the park isn't hitter friendly. So what are you going to do? So you're just going to settle for mm-hmm. for never going out and getting that guy? Or are you going to pay more? Are you going to go for someone else? Are you going to change the park? Like, I don't know what you're going to do. But the idea of just saying, hey, people don't want to come to Seattle, end of story, is such a cop out to me.
Yeah.
And it's a factor. I'm not stupid. Uh-huh. It's not a hitter friendly park. Like, it is not. There are some. Eugenio had a fly ball out to center the other day that, like, would have been a home run anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
In any other, like, in 10 degrees warmer weather, maybe here. That's so frustrating for hitters, and I know that. But, like, what I hate about the argument that is, oh, people just don't want to come here, is that it doesn't include, well, then what? Then what do you do?
Yeah. How do you make the Mariners more attractive?
Right.
You know how you do that?
When?
You start winning some games.
Yeah.
You start having, like, imagine at the, by the All-Star break, Julio's hot, Kelnick's hot, Gino's hot, Francis hot. You're looking at those four and saying, I might want to join that team.
Mm-hmm.
I might want to be a part of something that's going on over there. The last 2 years, this is what they have done, the Mariners. The last 2 years, they've caught the eye of the league a little bit, right? 2 years ago, you win 90 games, you missed the playoffs by a game. All right, then you come back, you got one of the youngest, brightest stars, rising stars in the league. He goes off, you make the playoffs, you make a move to get Castillo, you take. Yeah, you get swept by the Astros, but it is the closest sweep I've ever seen in my life.
It didn't feel like a sweep.
It's crazy. So you start to build a buzz. That's one thing that they have done. You've built a buzz. But what do you do to keep that buzz going? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not over just with the buzz. Like, we're trying to create a bang, a spark.
Yeah.
We're trying to be on a, what do I watch? MLB Tonight, headliners. You know, let's check in with the Mariners and see what they're doing. So they've done a decent job of creating that, but now it's about not sustaining it, but growing off of that. So making your team attractive. Now, I don't know how necessarily they do that to free agents, because I'm not sitting here having those conversations with the free agents and getting a feel for why they do and do not like this organization. We can point to the obvious and say, okay, not a hitter-friendly ballpark, and they haven't won in a very long time. Mm-hmm. But there are other things that a team can do to be attractive. I took my trip to Washington State University, and Washington State was not on my radar when I came out of high school. But what caught my attention was the people were friendly as heck. This office, I saw the growth in the office. They're going to throw the football a lot. The facilities were cool. So there are some things on the side that you can do to try to make this organization attractive. What exactly? I don't know, because I'm not in the building.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's like, in baseball, the biggest markets are also big cities, and popular teams are also big cities. So it's like, who would want to go to New York? A lot of people. Mm-hmm. Who would want to go to California? A lot of people.
Right.
But I don't mean to do a cross sport analogy, but when you have teams sometimes that are in random places, who wants to go to Milwaukee? I would, if it was to play for the Packers during their best years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so I acknowledge, but don't lean on the idea that there are things out of Seattle's control and then that's it. There are things out of your control, just like there are things out of your control for many different teams for many different reasons. But you have to find a way to work around them. And I cannot stand this kind of like, well, what are you going to do? You're just going to have to settle for a wild card. What? No. No. What? No. You're the only club that hasn't been to a World Series. And you're going to say, what are you going to do? No one wants to come here. That's your answer?
Yeah.
I refuse to let that be the full answer. It's a factor. It's absolutely a factor. But I think you can acknowledge it's a factor and also say, okay, what now?
Do we really think that that's their mentality, though?
I think that's
nothing we can do about it.
I think that they do have some unique obstacles in terms of, and it's something that they built themselves. Not entirely DePoto, who was only here for 7 or 8 years of this. But when you do not win for 20 years, you don't become a very desirable location, frankly.
Yeah.
Like, so part of it's your own doing.
Yeah.
You have a beautiful park. Seattle isn't for everyone, but I think it's a beautiful place and have heard great things about. We just talked with Michael Bennett, with him saying, like, Seattle, you know, him and a lot of other players, Cliff and Doug, are both from Florida and came here, and it's like they wanted to stay here. It was beautiful. They love the community.
Right.
It's not for everyone, but it is for a lot of people.
It is. And Bennett is from Louisiana, I believe.
Mm.
He's from Louisiana. I'm from Southern California, and there is something about this place. Once you get up here and you experience it.
You made your life here.
Like, my boys are always like, man, what you doing up there? You need to come back now. So I go, man, just come up here and visit and let me see. And I kid you not, 8 out of the 10 of the guys I grew up with, when they come up here, they're like, oh, okay, I understand now.
Right.
I get it. You know what I mean? So you do have to be a certain type of person. I like it up here, a certain type of athlete. But in the end of the day, if you sign a big old check of guaranteed money and then you have young talent to support whoever you sign with that big check, I think that is what makes you the most mm-hmm. attractive. Developing talent, lots of money, go get it.
Yeah. So from the 360, Stacey, let's get real. Do you have fans? I think they meant that will fill the stadium game after game after game after game. If you step up to bat and spend some money, let's go Mariners. The Mariners have money. They are not a top revenue thing. This isn't me being like, the Mariners have Dodgers money. They just aren't spending it. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the Rays are the hottest team in baseball right now. It's either them or the Braves. And the Rays just had like the biggest, Curtis, do you remember what it was? Like the biggest regular season crowd they'd had in forever. And it was something like,
it's like 20,000.
It was like 20,000. That can be a random Thursday at T-Mobile. Like, the Mariners have pretty solid attendance, and I believe they took in the most revenue of any team in baseball last year. It's
dollar,
not
dollar bills, y'all.
They are not a top market spender nor top market earner, But the issue is not fans aren't going to games. This is a really loyal fan base.
Mm-hmm. 509 makes a good point. The travel could be something to think
about. No, I'm not. These are all things to consider. They are all factors. Do not get me wrong. They're all factors. I just hate that kind of idea of like, it's defeatist. This defeatist attitude of like, well, what are you going to do? I mean, no one wants to come here. No one wants to come here. Either throw more money at them, find someone else, put together a trade package, or make some kind of change with your own team to where you get more from your guys. I don't know the answers to that. I'm not a GM. But I also doubt that Jerry DePoto, I would hope not, but I doubt that he's looking at the issue going, well, what are you going to do? No, he wants to go to a World Series.
Yeah, he wants the ball. Everyone wants to win.
Fired up. I'm getting fired
up. I like it when you're fired up.
I know. I went too far into four down territory. Let's get to it right now. Four down territory.
This is four down territory. Going inside the game. With former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, Patrick Mahomes listed as top five quarterbacks in Sports Illustrated. Who are his top five and who are yours?
His top five are they're the guys. You got Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Montana. And then you got Dan Marino and John Elway to kind of round this thing out. I like his list. I made my list, and it has nothing to do with numbers or whatnot. Mm. These are obviously some good quarterbacks, but I went more off of just if I were to start a team, who do I want to be on that squad? And number five, I got Randall Cunningham. When I think of mobile quarterback, he's the first one I saw with my own eyes. I got Dan Marino at number four.
Yep.
Man, Dan in this football world we got today would be a killer. You got Joe Montana, you got Steve Young, and then, of course, Michael Vick. But I'm talking about Philadelphia Michael Vick, the mature, I've learned Michael Vick. Those are my guys.
I love Michael Vick. I'm going to repeat what I said earlier, which is he didn't get enough appreciation for what he did in Philadelphia.
Hey.
Because people just kind of wrote him off. They were like, I'm done with this guy.
You can't
He can't redeem himself.
Mess with animals.
You can, and I know that, but
we've had people be horrible to other people, and they get second chances.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mess with them animals, though. Mm-hmm.
People currently playing in the league. Mm-hmm. Second down. Lamar Jackson says he has the keys to this new offense in Baltimore. What can playing in a new offense do for Lamar?
It can unlock him again. People forget in 2019, he threw for 3,100 yards, 36 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions, and rushed for over 1,000 yards. And only threw the ball 401 times. That's 26th most in the NFL. Had the third best passer rating. He has it in him to throw the football and open an offense up. You just become a victim to what you've seen recently, which is him being injured. I get it. And then him just being a mobile quarterback with a decent arm based off the offense he is being told to run. I think that if you give him a chance, he's got a new offensive coordinator, Todd Monken out of Georgia, was there for 3 seasons, won 2 national championships. He got Stetson Bennett to ball out. You get Stetson Bennett to ball out. The 7-8 year college non-graduate.
No, I was going to say, no.
Non-graduate.
Did not get a degree.
You can do something with Lamar. I'm just excited to see the evolution. This is a big step for him. Now, he has to ball out or the haters are going to come out like they always do.
Yeah.
But I like the transition in his career that's happening right now.
I can't even look down on Stetson Bennett for not getting his degree after being there for like 6 or 7 years because he'll never have to buy a drink in Georgia.
Never.
Everyone will love him. I got my degree. And I don't have either of those. You know what I mean? So it's like, who am I to be like, wow, you didn't get your English major?
Hey, come to me to Pullman. I'll show
exactly.
you a good
time. Yeah. Gotcha. Go Cougs. Third
oh
down.
Gosh.
Artie Burns is choosing to wear number 3 this year. And it got you thinking about athletes across all sports who have worn the same number. Let's discuss. It's fun which athletes immediately come to mind.
Yeah, so we got number 12. What do you think of when you hear number 12?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. We're talking football now. You got Brady's, Rogers, Bradshaw, Jim Kelly, Joe Namath, Doug Williams, the first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Now you got number 80. Who comes to mind?
Largent.
We're in the Northwest. We got Largent, Jerry Rice, Isaac Bruce. Number 7, who comes to mind?
Jerry Rice doesn't come to mind. Michael Vick.
We got Vick. So we got Vick, John Elway, Joe Theismann, Ben Roethlisberger. Number 21.
Currently in my mind right now in front of my face, Devin Witherspoon.
Devin Witherspoon.
That's not really.
You got Witherspoon. You got Sanders, Damian Thompson, Charles Woodson, and Frank Gore. Now let's go to basketball.
Frank Gore.
Number 15. Oh, number 21. You know who else? Paul Moyer. The good old Paul Moyer. My bad, Paulito.
Yeah.
Left you off that list. NBA number 15. You got Joker and Melo, both for the Nuggets. Whose jersey's going to go up?
Joker's will. Given our age, we probably both thought Melo.
Yeah, it's probably the Joker.
But it's,
34, you got Giannis, Ray Allen. Oh, I'm sorry. Shaq and Kareem. I ruined that.
24.
34. Who's your
34?
Favorite
34? Oh, I always think of Shaq.
23. That's easy.
Jordan.
That's Jordan. You got Jordan, LeBron, Draymond Green. Anthony Davis. Number 20. Who do you think of?
20. Oh, man. A big name? What do you have?
We got Gary Payton.
Oh, pfft.
Ray Allen.
Okay.
Moses Malone.
I'm embarrassed.
I got it. I got a bonus section.
Okay.
In honor of me shooting 77, number 77, who comes to mind when you hear number 77?
Some offensive lineman somewhere.
We got Luka.
Oh!
Luka 77. George Mirison, remember him? 7'8" center that played for like 15 years in the
played
league.
For the Bullets, yeah.
The Bullets, I think he played for Mavericks as well. And then Andrew Whitworth, offensive lineman.
Okay.
Offensive lineman. And then this one's for Mike Salk.
I was going to say some left tackle somewhere.
This is for Mike Salk. Ray Bourque for the Bruins. He loves some Boston sports. Just like Ray we like Bourque. Baltimore.
It's going to be the Boston. We're all just going to have our other side shows where people are going to be like, stop it. We're going to be like, and next up in Baltimore Ravens news. Okay, fourth down. We got one more minute here. Why, as a player, and I cannot believe this, why as a player are you rooting for the Patriots being fined?
Yeah, you get fined. You know what? Because our time is precious as players. And Bill Belichick let a media extend 15 minutes. Bill Belichick would never go for a guy showing up 15 minutes late for his meeting.
No, absolutely
not. Let alone
not.
A minute late. So just the way you expect your guys to be on point with their time management, sir. All right, you make sure we get out of this meeting on time because I got to get tape. I got to get treatment. Maybe I go outside early. I catch footballs off the jug machine. Mm-hmm. There are things that I have to do. And when you mess up my schedule, all right, you mess with everything.
I
do not disagree
that it suddenly makes it very tricky because the second you're late to practice, they're going to be like, where are you? And you're like, I was literally getting changed.
Yeah.
you gave us no time. However, it is wild that for a meeting that went 15 over, they were fined $50,000. Although I'm sure there's a lot of people listening right now who would say, I love it if my office would do that. Go 15 over, $50,000 for you.
Get them.
All right, we are heading to the station next for Hype Train. Don't go anywhere.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
What I need to know coming your way in 15. Get your questions in now. I already have one for you, Bump, and it's about the water boy.
Nice. Nice.
866-979-3776. Any question you have, any question, text it now. 866-979-3776. Got 10 minutes to think of a good one, though. So just sometime soon, because right now, we're heading to the station for Hype Train. All right, your first Hype Train, in which I tell you a trend or prediction of the world sports this week, and you tell me whether or not you agree by boarding the Hype Train. The Mariners are looking for the series sweep over the A's. First pitch is at 6:40 p.m. Logan Gilbert on the mound. Again, pregame show starts at 5:30 p.m. And before they head into a series against Pittsburgh and then a series against the Yankees at home, it sure would be nice to go on a winning streak here. My hype train is, that they do, but this is specifically what it is. The Mariners finally get to 2/500 with a win today and another quality outing from their starter.
We got Lolo on the mound today.
Yep.
We got three already done. Caballero's going to get another shot today. They're going to just go with the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And all is going to be well. It's a beautiful day in Seattle. It's going to be a beautiful day for the Mariners. Two games.
Okay.
Easy. I'm on the train.
Bump is boarding the train. Easy ticket purchase there. Mariners get to 2/500 today with a win over the A's. Curtis, are you boarding as well?
They said it couldn't be done, getting two games above 500. But here we are with that opportunity against the doormat of the league. Tonight, we make history and go two games above 500 and sweep the A's in a four-game series. The Mariners are 26-24 after tonight.
Let's go.
Two above. I'm also boarding this train. This is a horrible team. A horrible A's team. In what was it? Game two when they had one hit over the first four innings or something. I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah. Like, this team is awful. But I also think that the offense is doing what they need to do against them and will continue to do so tonight. That hype train leaves the station. All three aboard. Next one into the station. We were talking about the Florida Panthers advancing to the Stanley Cup playoffs by the skin of their teeth, and they're going to take on the Vegas Knights. Interesting final matchup from, I'm sure, a league that would have loved to see the Bruins there. No matter, the Panthers took them out. This is your hype train, and now they're going to win it all. The Panthers will win the Stanley Cup.
The Panthers of Florida.
It's a tough one because it's not like we've been following the Panthers, so it's got to just be gut feeling.
I've watched every Stanley Cup playoff game this year, Stacey. Speak for yourself.
My bad.
No, just playing. No, I haven't watched much, but I've watched a little bit, and I've watched more of them than the Knights. So I'm going with the Panthers and saying, let's get her done. I'm on that train. They win it.
Next, your turn, Curtis. Our Florida Panthers will win the Stanley Cup. Bump says, you know what? I watched some of their games, and I'm feeling them. So he's boarding. Are you?
We're longtime Panthers fans.
Long time.
You know how many overtime wins they have in these playoffs?
The Panthers?
Yeah.
None.
They have six.
That's what I said.
Overtime
I said six
wins.
Overtime wins. Damn. Wait, were they the ones that went almost five OTs?
Yes.
Oh, just kidding.
Yeah. They won game one of that series. But yeah, they have six overtime wins.
Ooh.
It's absurd just how clutch they've been in this postseason. When you're 6-0 in overtime, it feels like there are, you know, some outside forces working in your favor. I think that's going to continue for Florida. I think they are just a team of destiny right now. I think they're going to be the Stanley Cup champions, which sounds really weird to say considering that they barely got into the playoffs.
But yeah.
That's the beauty of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I'm boarding the train because I want them to. Not watched any of their games. Clearly, I didn't know that they'd gone to overtime, except that I knew there was a 4-OT game somewhere in there. I just think they're a really cool story. It's exactly what everyone loves
really
about sports.
Really tough road, too.
Yeah.
Boston, Toronto, Carolina.
They beat the best.
Yeah.
Simply the best. Big ups, Tina Turner.
Simply the best. Oh,
big
Tina.
Ups, Tina.
Next type train into the station in honor of Tina. I'm going to go NBA for this one. I'm going across all leagues here. LeBron gave a cryptic answer as to whether or not he'd be back with the Lakers in the 2023-24 season. But the hype train is that he will. It's all talk.
He will be back.
He will be back.
Yeah, he's going to be back, man. He's got some things to do. Because if you take a year off, it's kind of like when I talk to athletes, they go, oh, I'm going to take a year off from college. You're never going back to school, son.
Mm-hmm.
You take a year off, you're never going back. That's how I feel about LeBron. If he takes a year off, he knows he's going to enjoy the lifestyle, hanging out with the wife and kids and drinking wine whenever he wants to. But I also think that he has goals and milestones he wants to reach. One is playing until he's 40. Two is playing with his son. He's got to keep the body going. He'll be back next year.
Hype train is that LeBron is back for this upcoming 2023-24 season. Bump is boarding. Bump, noted Lakers apologist, is boarding this train. Curtis, are you boarding?
Yes, I think he is back for this upcoming season. I just think his numbers mean a lot to him, and a season's worth of not having, you know, maybe 2,000 points or whatever, that would, you know, take away his quest for 40,000 points total. I think he's going to stick around for another year with L.A. And then in 24, that's when Bronny's draft eligible. I believe his contract runs out after next season as well, so it all just kind of lines up perfectly.
Yeah.
I think he's back next season.
I do too. I want to get to the next hype train because we only got a couple more minutes here. So I mentioned going across all leagues. I'm actually going back to MLB for this one, but I wanted a fun one. I know it's not Friday, but it's a fun Thursday. So let's do a fun one. This might be our most controversial though. Now I had some pretty easy ones. LeBron's coming back next year. The Mariners are going to go two above 500. Well, the Panthers winning the Stanley Cup isn't an easy choice, but we all boarded anyways. This one's going to get the people going.
All right.
I love going to the ballpark to watch games because in my mind, calories don't count. I eat and drink whatever I want because that's part of the experience. And so with that, people will often say, this is the best thing to have. Like, to fit. Like I go there and I have to have this. So this is your hype train. Hot dogs are the best ballpark food. The best thing you can get at the ballpark.
No, I hate hot dogs.
Okay, well, then you were not boarding this train, but you got to tell me what.
I hate them. I hate hot dogs because you don't know what part of the animal that thing is.
Yeah, it's
from.
A fun surprise.
No, I prefer the all beef. Let me know where that meat is coming from. So my favorite ballpark meal is nachos.
Nachos are the best ballpark food?
Okay. Yeah, I like nachos.
Bump is not boarding the train that hot dogs are the best ballpark food. He says, no, it's nachos. I also don't know where hot dogs come from. Curtis, are you boarding the train? It's hot. They're a quintessential baseball item.
They are quintessential. And they're very convenient, too. You can hold it just right in one hand. It's good to go. I think I'm with Bump, though. I love me some ballpark nachos.
Yeah. That's not tradition. That's not tradition.
What do you mean it's not tradition? I feel like nachos have entered into the traditional ballpark food fare that has been around. Nachos have been around for decades.
What emoji came out first? The hot dog or nachos?
Do we care?
Exactly. Like,
yeah. I love me some ballpark nachos. You just don't like nachos. That's your
I'm
hot
learning
take.
To like nachos.
Yeah.
I like nachos that are made a very particular way. The way that I want to make nachos is I line them all out, like evenly spaced, face up, and then I put individual toppings on each one. And that's how I like doing them.
T-Mobile Park nachos. Chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Those are great.
From the Mac and Jack's text line. Nachos at the ballpark have gross processed cheese, Kelly in the 425 says.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so not, you don't know where that comes from.
It's not booty cheeks. And
the 509 says garlic fries are better.
I just don't like the way the breath is.
I don't.
Yeah. In the moment, they're incredible.
Yeah. Hot dogs?
The hour after, you taste them and it's like.
For
okay,
hot dogs?
This is,
the trick
no,
is
no,
to,
no, for garlic fries.
Oh, garlic fries? Yeah. Yeah. Well, the trick is to, for hot dogs, not think about where they come from. You know? You just kind of take that information out of your mind.
I did that for like 25 years.
And then you were like, no, I can't.
I saw the wrong documentary one night.
And
I'm like, oh,
Don't tell me anything. All right. What I need to know is coming your way next. Get your questions in now. 866-979-3776. Don't go anywhere.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Rost.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, and Electric. I just have to take a deep breath. Get your questions into the Mac and Jack text line, 866-979-3776. So I do have a lot of sports questions, which I love. The first question, though, is not a sports question. And non-sports questions are also welcome. And this one specifically for you. At Bump, What I Need to Know. What's your favorite scene from Waterboy?
Oh, my favorite scene from Waterboy. There's a couple. One is when one of these players says something about his mom or something like that. And then he looks at him, he goes, say his number 72. He goes, 72. And just remembers his number. And then he gets like an interception, then hands him the ball so he can tackle him, then drop kicks him. But my favorite was when his girl, Vicky, I think her name was, Lynn Swan is a sideline reporter. He goes down to her and goes, oh, what's the final score going to be? She goes, 30-27 Mud Dogs. He goes, oh, that's a nice guess. She goes, that ain't a guess. That's what it's going to be. That one always gets me going. Always.
God, I can't believe. I would not have guessed that was your favorite movie, and I don't know why.
Well, when I need a laugh.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. It was movies that we always watch when we need a laugh.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be.
That's what's going to be.
What I need to know, would Shohei Ohtani fix the Mariners right now? Obviously, this person isn't saying, like, go get him. They're saying, like, would he fix the Mariners, or are there problems bigger than that?
Yes, he'd fix them. He can't fix the Angels, but he'd fix the Mariners.
I mean,
I would gladly take him.
Yeah, I would absolutely welcome Shohei Ohtani onto this team, I guess. I understand the point. At least I think this is what you're making, Texter. I'm sorry if it isn't, but I understand the point about, like, there are other problems than just one hitter. Like, they're not one bat away, but he's a really good one.
Said Texter.
Texter. What I need to know. The weekend goes by too fast. What are tips and tricks for getting the most out of it?
Wake up early, go to sleep late.
Yeah,
honestly,
yeah. Don't sleep in past like 9 a.m.
Past 9 a.m.? Oh, I was thinking don't sleep in past 11.
Stacey, you would sleep in until 2 p.m.
Okay, first of all, I've never slept in until 2 p.m. in my life.
Lies.
That's a lie.
I've never slept in until 2 p.m. I didn't say one.
You want to get the most out of your weekend, you listen to Bump and me. You don't sleep in past 9 a.m.
I will say my most productive weekends, including this past weekend, which was very productive, I did set an alarm, and I woke up at 9, and I started my day, and I got a lot done.
There you go.
So proud of you.
Thank you. Normally, though, I wake up at 10. What I need to know. Can you get nacho cheese on garlic fries at T-Mobile? But why would you want to?
Oh. But Billing why? Ladle it too.
Yeah, but why would you want to?
I feel like I've had nacho cheese on regular fries. That was kind of bomb.
Yeah, that's sure. That's
bomb.
I just feel like it might just be too too savory, too salty.
Yeah. What I need to know, we got a lot of Mariners ones in here. I'm going to try to go through these. Which of our pitchers in the majors or minors could you pair with for a good or great bat? Oh, could you part with? Sorry, could you part with?
That's a Curtis question there.
Or which I could flip it. And which bats would you, or which arms would you be like, I hope they do not deal this person in a trade.
In the minors?
Because that's kind of what, or the majors.
What? I want to see Hancock for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Bryce is starting to become untouchable.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so good. If you got rid of Bryce Miller, then you're going back to putting Chris Flexen in your rotation.
Yeah.
We all saw how that went to start this season. I don't think that makes the Mariners better than what they are right now. So if you're going to make a trade for a big name bat or just a bat at any point this season, I think you might have to deal from your farm system.
Yeah.
So it'd be
Emerson
Hancock, Brian Wu. Those are the two names kind of at the top. I think Brian Wu right now rates a little bit higher than Emerson Hancock. Now, another name to keep in mind, somebody that's emerged recently, I saw Kylie McDaniel of ESPN rate him in his top 100 prospects, is Jonathan Clase, who is now in Double A. He's no longer in Class A. Get it?
Good job. Next question. 253 says, what I need to know, will Julio be at 250 by the All-Star break? If not, where will he be?
Nope, 248.
Hey, considering that he's at 214 right now, around there.
But he had a couple hits last night.
He's under 220,
he had
three
on Monday.
That would mean a couple games where he's getting multiple hits. Yeah. So, honestly, not bad. What I need to know. I'm trying to find, will Caballero be our starting second baseman at the end of the season? Or by the end? Like, is he the go-to starting? Second baseman right now.
Sign him to a long-term contract.
Yeah.
Start printing his jersey.
Julio's at 222 right now.
222? Yeah, he can be at 250. That still is going to take overperforming what he has been to get that average up.
248 is not a guess. It's what it's going to be.
It's what it's going to be.
It's what it's going to be.
What I need to know. Will the Mariners find a blockbuster move at the trade deadline for a DH or position player?
Blockbuster?
I don't think it's going to be. No, I don't think
blockbuster,
so.
Blockbuster, like, I mean, they stopped building those years ago. You know what I'm saying?
I just think
I'm just in my dad mode
you
right
really
now.
You really are.
Big trades now. Is this a Netflix trade?
Right? This is a Netflix tray. Yeah, that's what it is now.
What I need to know, what was one of your very earliest memories as a child? When do you think we start remembering things?
I can tell you my earliest memory. I know it for sure.
What is it?
It was my third birthday party.
You remember it?
It was I had a Bart Simpson cake. I love The Simpsons.
I wonder when we start making memories. Like, think of all this money we waste on first birthdays.
Much money.
You don't even have to celebrate if you don't want to.
I feel like my two-year-old Willa is already remembering things because, like, the other day she brought up this random scene in a cartoon that she had watched, like, days after the fact.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you remember that?
Wow.
She'll forget that real soon.
I know.
Yeah.
give it time.
The next cartoon.
You got 3 weeks.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it for us today. For Michael Bumpus, for Curtis Rogers, I'm Stacey Ross. Do not go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming up next.